What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
America, welcome back to our show today. It is Thursday, March 29th, 2018, and sure happy it's Thursday. A lot of stuff going on here, and first of all, I do want to apologize to everybody for taking yesterday off, but I just hit the wall. I'm running on the edge of exhaustion. I needed a day to rest, and that's what I did. I slept for most of the day except for choir practice, but we're back here today. I'm in a lot better shape, so we're going to do the show, and we're going to have a lot of interesting discussions. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions. So let's get right on into it. We are hearing now that the Trump Department of Justice is starting to investigate the Obama FBI FISA abuses and the Steele dossier. Now, this is coming from the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, and he's saying he's going to review potential Foreign Intelligence Service Act abuses by both the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation following requests from Congress and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Now, it remains to be seen whether this is an investigation that will lead to actual prosecutions or if it will just be another, yes, people did things wrong, but we don't feel that they deserve to be punished, kind of a whitewash, which seems to have been the stock and trade of both the FBI and Department of Justice, certainly with regards to Hillary Clinton. But it is, you know, getting on the corporate media. It's getting on out there. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. Meanwhile, documents have surfaced showing possible coordination between the CIA, the FBI, the Obama White House, and Democratic officials early on in the Trump-Russia probe. And the reason this is interesting is because the Obama administration's public stance was that it had nothing to do with what was going on with FBI and Department of Justice regarding the investigation. And now we're finding out that, yes, Obama was very much involved in coordinating with these people, trying to set up this bogus Russia collusion story to damage and possibly remove Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump himself has lost a bid yesterday to toss out a lawsuit that claims his business with foreign and state governments violates anti-corruption provisions of the Constitution. Well, that also applies to the Uranium One deal. Why isn't anybody filing lawsuit about that? Because Hillary Clinton was conducting business with foreign and state governments to get that Uranium One deal pushed on through. And she made a huge amount of money off of it with the donations to the Clinton Charitable Foundation. Now, a lot of people are still very upset about the fact that in the 2020 census, there will be a question regarding your citizenship. And, of course, the liberal Democrats are going completely wild. They're just absolutely nutso. Can't be done. It's racist. It's this. It's that. No, the reality is that they're trying to basically redraw House representative districts by flooding in new voters who are favorably disposed to voting Democrat. So basically, it's about representation. The House of Representatives is supposed to represent the American citizens, and the districts are supposed to be drawn around the numbers of citizens in those districts, not the total population. And if they're counting undocumented immigrants, it's basically diluting the power of the American citizenry. So the Democrats apparently have given up trying to change the minds of the American people. They're just bringing in a new group of voters whose minds don't need to be changed. They're already there. Now, at least a dozen states are planning to sue over the new census citizenship question. And they're all out there screaming, oh, it's racist this, it's racist that. And the liberals are out there saying that, come on, there hasn't been a citizenship question on the census since 1950. Well, as usual, their facts are uncertain. The 2000 census had a citizenship question, and that was removed by the Obama administration. And once again, we're seeing a government, we're seeing political parties who are ignoring the Constitution. They're ignoring how the House of Representatives is supposed to operate. They're ignoring what the purpose of the census is. They're trying to literally flood this country with illegal immigrants who are not entitled to vote and then somehow make it possible for them to vote by challenging voter ID laws in states, challenging the citizenship question. They're literally bartering away the nation built by generation after generation of legal American citizens to people who should not be here in the first place in exchange for their votes, which shouldn't be allowed to happen. That's how twisted this all is. Now, as you know, we have been highly critical of the Veterans Affairs Office of Veterans Affairs, and Trump apparently decided he had had it. He's fired Veterans Affairs Secretary David Shulkin, and he wants to replace him with the White House doctor, Admiral Romney L. Jackson. He is being nominated, and Trump says that Robert Wilkie, an undersecretary at the Defense Department, will serve as acting VA secretary until Jackson is confirmed. So apparently Shulkin did not do the job he was supposed to do. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, this whole Christopher Steele dossier continues to grow and grow and grow. And obviously Hillary Clinton and the Democrats have come under a tremendous amount of fire for having paid for all of this, especially because it turned out to be completely unverified, but was used to secure the FISA warrants. Hillary Clinton is actually out there saying it was okay to pay for the Steele dossier, and it's not really the same as working with the Russians to influence the election. That's her latest spin doctoring out there. But if you want to talk Russian collusion, again, let's go back to that Uranium One deal. So let's get into the war zones here. Syria is now vowing to regain all occupied territories. They're determined to retake control over territories currently occupied by hostile foreign powers, terrorists, and so forth and so on. And Al-Jafari is accusing Israel, Qatar, Turkey, the U.S., U.K., and France of waging a global terrorist war against Syria. And the diplomat noted, Eastern Ghouta is about to be fully liberated from militants and praised efforts of the Syrian Arab Army and from the country's allies. However, getting back all occupied territories may be a little harder than they're thinking because the U.S. Army has started building another large military base in the eastern part of Deir Ezzor province to further gain control over Syria's energy-rich regions. This is coming from a senior representative of the Syrian Democratic Forces. In other words, they're going to grab the oil. Grab the oil fields here. Meanwhile, almost 5,300 militants have left Eastern Ghouta. They've accepted the government's amnesty offer. They're surrendering their weapons. They're taking their families, and they're leaving. So Ghouta is almost a completely done deal. And what the U.S. is planning on doing to somehow justify going back on in and trying to carve that country up remains to be seen. All right, we're going to take a phone call from Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. How you doing? I wanted to talk about the... did you hear anything about the Russians and the Saudi Arabians making the deal with the 20-year deal on the OPEC oil prices?
I had not heard that one, no.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a deal that they worked out, which would mean, you know, the U.S. would be out of that negotiation with any of that, right? So, I mean, and then you throw in Germany's Nord Stream 2. That,
yes.
They're allowing permits to go through for that. Now, Germany, I believe, didn't they just take out one as a ceremonial, you know, thing, one ambassador or whatever, right?
So, yep, but, on that, yes.
Yeah, but then they actually approved and they're going to get more permits for the Nord Stream 2 project to continue, which basically, if you remember, wasn't the senators and congressmen, like 39 of them, trying to stop that project from going on, which is none of their business anyway. They're trying to stop that project. That project's a very important project. Now, is this a signal of Germany saying, you know, we're done with this?
It could very well be. Basically, what it is control over those pipelines provides a great deal of influence over the nations dependent on that oil. And after the tensions in Ukraine and the Russian oil and gas pipeline going through Ukraine to Europe, which was literally being threatened by Poroshenko to try and put more pressure on Russia, Russia decided they wanted another pipeline that would reach Europe without going through Ukraine, and that's what Nord Stream 2 is all about. And the U.S., of course, is opposed to it because they want everybody to use the existing oil pipelines, which U.S. investors, politicians are partly invested in. And that's really what it all comes down to. If you own the pipeline, then you're getting a share of the transit fees. Those pipelines are not sitting there used for free. To send your oil through the pipeline, you have to pay a fee, and that fee goes back to the people who financed and built the pipeline. And obviously, the United States government, American investors, American politicians want oil flowing through pipelines owned, at least in part, by American companies.
Yeah, it's sad, though. It's like, that's capitalism. Russia's got a product, and they're selling it to you. You know, and you don't have to buy it if you don't want it. You know, freeze. But that's capitalism. That's free market, right? I mean, but, you know, the U.S. and certain countries like Britain, I mean, they had all this cold spell. Like, I mean, I just don't understand their thinking. Would they rather, they'd rather have their people freeze or fly off to Switzerland. I mean, I guess, right?
Well, see, here's the problem. The Nord Stream 2 pipeline is going to be delivering oil and gas from Russia to Europe at a much lower cost than the other pipelines. And so the United States right now seems to be moving away from viewing Europe as a partner and start to see them as competition. And this is leading not only to tensions over the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, but other issues regarding trade and sanctions.
And, Mike, back to the petrol one. I mean, I don't want to scare anybody, but as time goes by and we still decline further and their petrol one rises and our petrodollar falls because more countries are going to go to the petrol one just because they can either, you know, get the one or they can get that put into gold, physical gold, you know, more countries are going to do that because gold's like a safe haven, you know, and we're going to get more desperate, Mike. Us, the British, the West, you know, Canada, Australia, France, you know, they're going to start getting a little more desperate. I think Germany's going to be okay, Mike, because they're actually holding up the European economy pretty much at this point, you know. I just feel these people are going to do something desperate, Mike, at this point, going forward.
It does seem like that's what's going on. Now, you need to understand that while buying gold and silver and precious metals is a wealth preserver, the petrol yuan is not something that you buy to hold on to. Basically, it is simply saying you're buying oil futures denominated in the yuan, which is more and more being seen as a much more stable currency, less risky than the U.S. dollar.
All right, thanks, Mike. Have a good show.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Alan in Iowa. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey, Mike. I couldn't help but think the other day that I thought I had heard somewhere where a majority of the vaccines are made in China now. And I'm thinking to myself, as we saber-rattle with them and, you know, try to make them our enemy and vice versa, you know, how do we know what the heck they're going to start putting in that stuff? First of all, I'm against vaccines to begin with, but you know, why would you have your supposed enemy making your vaccines for you? That just sounds crazy to me.
I absolutely agree with you. I don't know what percentage of vaccines are made in China. I know that China makes and exports a lot of medications you get at your local pharmacy, and there have been problems with quality control, if not outright counterfeit medications. But you're absolutely right. If we actually ramp up hostilities against China, it becomes very, very dangerous for us to be importing those medications from that same China. because they could put something in there that ought not to be in there.
Right. And thanks, Mike. Just one last thing. I just want to tell everyone that as you get your refund checked, please cut a little piece off for RBN and Mike. I am going to do that, and I want to thank you, Mike, again.
Well, thank you very much for that suggestion, and we can certainly use the money. Times have never been harder than they are right now. Okay, Alan?
Thank you, Mike.
I guess he's... All right, thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. Okay, the phone lines are open. We're getting back to the news. Now, getting on back to Syria, as they're cleaning out eastern Ghouta, the Syrian Arab Army has uncovered a massive tunnel network that was used to move the militants around the city without being seen. And in those tunnels, they have found a huge amount of Israeli-made weapons and ammunitions. And apparently, that's one of their major suppliers, along with the United States. So right now, the Syrian ambassador is threatening Israel. They're going to take the Golan back. It really does belong to them. It is occupied by Israel, and Israel is already selling off the oil and gas underneath it. But the Syrian ambassador is saying, once we're done taking back Syria from all these other groups, we're taking back the Golan. And obviously, Israel does not want that to happen. And that probably is one of the major reasons why Israel was supporting these terrorists and these militants to try and keep Syria paralyzed so that Israel could go on doing whatever they wanted to do with the Golan. Now, let's get on over to this kerfuffle between Great Britain and Russia, because it is getting really, really out of control. Interesting little article that came out of Sputnik News called Britain's Last Hurrah to Vandalize EU-Russia Relations. And it's saying that basically international relations has deteriorated into global insanity. And the British government is trying to lead dozens of nations down this path of a Monty Python burlesque politics towards Russia. And it's not funny because this is how wars get started. Now, so far, over 100 Russian diplomats are being expelled by the United States, Canada, Australia, and European countries, some not all, largely at the behest of the official British claims that Russia was responsible for an alleged poison attack in England earlier this month. Now, Moscow and a lot of other independent observers have pointed out that not one scrap of evidence has been presented to date by the British government to support its claim that Russian state agents carried out an assassination attempt on a former MI6 double agent and his daughter in Salisbury back on March 4th. There's nothing there. The attitude is just take our word for it. We're the government. We wouldn't lie about something that important. But Theresa May is continuing to portray this as an attack on Russian soil. Rather on British soil, by Russia. And she's now threatening to retaliate with a new cyber warfare initiative. So this thing is just escalating and escalating. Russia, meanwhile, has finally responded to all of this. They have expelled 60 U.S. diplomats, and they're closing down the U.S. consulate in St. Petersburg, sort of a tit-for-tat for Seattle and the other diplomats. Again, it's clearly escalating out of control here. Now, Russia is all of a sudden concerned that if this diplomatic infighting continues to escalate, that the U.S. might decide to freeze Russian assets, gold and currency reserves currently held in the USA. Because Russia is one of the many countries that does store their gold in U.S. gold depositories. And they don't want to run the risk of that all of a sudden going bye-bye. So there may be a request for repatriation there. But again, we're seeing the U.S. goad Russia, hoping to provoke a response that can be used to say, okay, we're in a war. We'll be right back with a phone call after these few words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go right back to the telephones. Terry in California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Mike, I've been on the internet, and I've seen things about the 5G network, and I'm a little confused on it. I'm just going to ask a question and hang up, and you can answer it if you want to, whenever you want to. What do you know about 5G, and what should we know about it? And I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. Well, a lot of people are trying to get some hysterical feelings going about 5G, and there's been a lot of nonsense put out about how it represents something nefarious. It's just the newest, fastest over-the-air data transmission for your smartphones and tablets. The only real hazard there is the same hazard that we have from electromagnetic radiation in general. And my concern is not that any one device is emitting radiation that can be harmful, but the sum total of all the electromagnetic radiation may actually be harmful for us. And we're talking about not just the Wi-Fi and the 4G, radio, television, over-the-air signals, police radio, citizens band, ham radio, radars, all of that stuff together puts a lot of electromagnetic energy into the atmosphere and into your body. Now, back when the TSA was first coming out with their millimeter wave body scanners, the conventional thinking was that the energy levels of these radio waves are too low to break a molecular bond, which would what would lead to damage. But apparently there was a discovery made at Johns Hopkins Medical Center called magnetic resonance. And that was that the radio energy could cause molecules to start shaking. And the shaking would get worse and worse over time until finally there was enough kinetic energy to start tearing molecular bonds apart, much like how resonance destroyed the Gallipin-Girty Bridge over the Tacoma Narrows in Washington State. And so there is a concern there. And we know from past history that very often technologies will get put into the marketplace without really understanding the dangers involved. Back in the 1960s, if you went into a shoe store, you would see a shoe store fluoroscope where you would put your feet in this little box at the bottom and you would look into this little screen that would show how well your shoes were conforming to the shape of your feet. And these were highly recommended. The Surgeon General came out with an educational film saying, yes, you should do this so that workers could be much more comfortable standing on their feet all day doing their jobs. Then in the shoe store salesmen started all coming down with cancer, and it was realized that the x-rays from these fluoroscopes were the cause. And it still took until the 1980s to get all of these out of the shoe stores. So there's a concern about the energy, but I don't think there's anything specific about 5G that is any worse than, for example, 4G. All right, so thanks a lot for the phone call. We're going to get on back to the news here. Over in Seattle, the diplomats at that Russian consulate general are refusing to take down the Russian flag. And they're not going to remove the Russian flag from the mission's official residence. And they're saying we're going to leave the residence at the appropriate time. And we have to leave the building. But its diplomatic status, it definitely represents Russian sovereign state property, and they don't have to take the flag down. So this is still escalating. So Russia has struck back in a rather odd, interesting way. In addition to expelling 60 U.S. diplomats and closing the consulate in St. Petersburg, they are now banning Coca-Cola and Snickers bars off of all the Russian military bases. So this is starting to edge up to being a little silly, a little petty. Meanwhile, not everybody is going along with this Skripal poisoning story. And apparently, outside of the nations that are going along with this expelling of Russian diplomats and screaming for Putin's blood, almost 160 other countries who are not members of the Western Bloc are saying there's got to be evidence. There has to be some evidence to say that Russia did it as opposed to somebody else with access to whatever nerve agent was actually used on Skripal and his daughter. Western ambassadors are confirming in point of fact Great Britain has provided no proof on the Skripal case. They're just going along with it to go along with it. There's zero evidence. The president of the Czech Republic is out there saying, where's the evidence? We need to see Britain's evidence before we escalate the situation any further. Now, up in Germany, the Alternative for Deutschland party is slamming Angela Merkel's move to expel Russian diplomats over the Skripal case. And they, too, are saying exactly the same thing. Germany should have secured firm proof of Russian involvement first. That groundless unfriendly actions toward Russia harm Germany. And yes, they do. We got to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, Georgia, and that's Russian Georgia, has decided to expel one Russian diplomat to show solidarity with Great Britain. And they picked a staff member at the Russian interest section at Switzerland's embassy in Tbilisi. And Georgia is saying, we understand what Great Britain is saying, and we're going to kick out this one diplomat, and they've given him 7 days to leave the country here. Meanwhile, over in Slovenia, they're refusing what they call obedience to Great Britain. They're not going to kick out any Russian diplomats. They don't want to go against the Russians. Now, Slovenia is recalling its ambassador to Russia for consultations. Now, Serbia has said they will not expel Russian diplomats. This is not getting the traction Theresa May and Donald Trump hoped it would. Luxembourg is not going to expel any diplomats over the Skripal case. Meanwhile, the United States itself is finding itself in hot water up at the United Nations for expelling Russian diplomats who are accredited to the UN as opposed to the U.S. And the United Nations is saying the U.S. has no right to expel diplomats accredited at the UN headquarters. It's none of their business. Meanwhile, we're finding out a couple of developments about Sergei Skripal and his daughter. First of all, last week it was being reported that it was being considered to basically pull the plug, that there was only a one where he and the daughter are. They can't find out where they are. There's nobody being allowed to be to see them, nobody to visit them, even in the isolation booth. They just don't know where they are. And interestingly enough, that one police officer who supposedly was exposed to the nerve agent, he's doing well. He's okay. Apparently, we're having technical issues again today. Apparently, that police officer was never anywhere near Skripal and his daughter, so we don't know what's going on there. Now, originally, they said Skripal was poisoned at this cafe or near this cafe and then walked outside, sat down on a bench, and that's where he was found. Now, the police are saying after all this time, they went on over and tested his front door of his home and say, oh, there's a very high concentration of the nerve agent here. He was attacked here at his home. Now, retired French GIGN officer Paul Baril says that Litvinenko, Berezovsky, and Skripal are all CIA and MI6 false flags to blame Russia. Baril says he knows not only how Litvinenko was assassinated, but his handler, exiled tycoon Boris Berezovsky, was killed to keep him quiet. And apparently this operation's name is Beluga. And its purpose is to blame Russia and make Russia look evil. John Pilger is out there saying much the same thing. The Skripal case is a carefully constructed drama. And if you look at how quickly events transpired, Sergei and his daughter were attacked. Oh, it's got to be Russia. Oh, we're expelling diplomats and it spreads like crazy. It clearly was orchestrated. This was all ready to go the moment this incident actually happened. Now, one thing that has come on out that I don't think anybody's appreciating right now, questions over who actually can make this Novichok. Theresa May's entire case that Russia was behind it is because that Russia some years ago was developing Novichok-like substances. But it doesn't rule out other countries doing exactly the same. And a lot of attention has focused on Porton Down, which is very, very close to where Skripal and his daughter were poisoned. And Porton Down has the capability of making this agent. It turns out the United States Pentagon has spent at least $70 million on military experiments involving tests with deadly viruses and chemical agents at Porton Down. So Porton Down is apparently developing this stuff on behalf of the United States government. Article out of FortRush.com is basically saying that the U.S. has been able to make Novichok for 20 years. And it goes by the name of A234. But apparently there was information that came on out that basically said, yes, the U.S. knows how to make this. So again, you cannot assume that Russia did it. And again, the reason you shouldn't assume that Russia did it is Putin didn't have a motive. What this Skripal did happened years ago. Putin had other things to worry about that were more immediate, his reelection and the upcoming World Cup, and trying to basically tamp down wars in several other countries. This wouldn't have been a priority for him. And again, who benefits from this? Obviously, Theresa May, she gets to scream, Russia's bad, Russia's bad, Russia's bad. Same thing with Donald Trump and everybody else on board. This is an attempt to Iraq Russia. Just like we were lied to that Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons of mass destruction, they're trying to build a case that Russia is a chemical weapons threat, just like they tried to do in Syria. Now, as you know, a while back, Britain played a kind of a dirty trick on Russia and said, it's up to you to prove you did not do this. Now, any student of logic will tell you, you cannot prove a negative. It's impossible, and it's foolish to try. Russia has come on back and thrown the situation around, saying, prove that you didn't poison Skripal, or we will consider it an attack by Britain to kill Russian citizens. So the playing field is leveled on that one. Now, a while back, there was this gentleman named Lessin, who was basically a media expert. He was Russian, was a friend of Putin, and he was found dead. And at the time, police and medical investigators concluded the injuries to Lessin were caused by a series of drunken falls. Now, all of a sudden, there's a new story out. This is over in the Mirror in Great Britain, saying that, oh, now we know that Lessin was, in fact, another Putin assassination. And who do we get that from? Christopher Steele. He's given a memo to the FBI. Now, Christopher Steele has already been discredited. His Trump dossier was completely unverifiable. It's a fiction. And yet he's still being cited as an authoritative source to go on out and bash Russia. Meanwhile, Russia's aid convoy for the Donbass area has arrived in Donetsk and Lugansk. They've brought in more than 400 tons of humanitarian supplies to Donbass residents. And the Russian Emergencies Ministry has been sending humanitarian supplies to Donbass since August 2014. A total of 74 convoys carrying 73,000 tons of humanitarian supplies have been sent there. You see the U.S. talking about humanitarian crisis. You don't see them doing anything. You see Russia doing that. Now, lately, Russia has been hit with a bunch of bizarre fires. And one of them, of course, was back on March 25th when this Winter Cherry Mall in Russia's Kemerovo was burned down. And a lot of people are saying, was it just an accident, a tragedy, or was this deliberate and a provocation? Because following that fire, there have been demonstrations outside of Putin's office calling for him to resign because he didn't prevent this from happening. That's a bit of a stretch. But apparently there have been now five of these fires. An apartment block has burned in St. Petersburg. Earlier, a Hyundai car dealership was ablaze in St. Petersburg. 12-story apartment block caught fire in Chechnya. Do they have an arsonist there, or is this the beginning of a destabilization campaign? Creates stress in the population. Story out of Sputnik News, Brzezinski's heritage, the West wants total partition and defeat of Russia. Well, that's pretty obvious here. The U.S. is trying to basically regime change or break up other countries that pose competition to U.S. hegemonic economic interests. And basically, this article is talking about how most of the European countries have followed the British-U.S. lead in Russophobia. And it's basically projecting what they call Atlanticist domination over Europe. But these countries that were supposed to be foreign independent nations, independent states, are now automatic followers of whatever Washington, D.C. says. Now, story out of Russia today. Guy named Vladimir Zhirinovsky, who is the leader of the Russian Liberal Democratic Party, came on out and said the West seeking to avoid collapse by antagonizing Russia. Now, I have been saying all along that one of the motives for the U.S. to get into a major war is to have something to blame when the economy implodes. But according to Zhirinovsky, he's saying the motive from the European Union is to create this great enemy and hope that the fear of that enemy will keep the Eurozone united in the face of Britain getting ready to leave, all these other countries that are talking about leaving. They're starting to fight back against the open borders. And so how do you hold that country together? You have this big, horrible enemy just over the Boulder Gap. And we've all got to stay together so we can stay strong and united, which does make sense. I mean, that was the whole point of the Cold War. Keep the American people under control by having this enemy out there that was going to get them if they dared disobey the U.S. government, if they dared doubt the wisdom of the military-industrial complex. Now, down in Egypt, they just had their elections, and Sisi has won a second term with 92% of the vote, which is less than a mandate because just 40% of the people came out to vote in the first place. But the obedient U.S. puppet is still firmly in place there. Over in Korea, North and South Koreas begin high-level talks to prepare for the intra-Korean summit. Now, as you know, mid-level diplomats met over in Finland to sort of get the ball rolling. When you're going to have these meetings of heads of state, it's not like somebody just shows up and knocks on the door and says, have you got a few minutes, can you talk? There's all kinds of protocols to be worked on out, what the agendas are going to be, and it's now moving on up to the next level where they're basically going to finalize the details of the meeting between Moon Jae-in and Kim Jong-un. And I hope it goes really well. We know that what North Korea wants is an official end to the Korean War. And we know that Moon Jae-in wants to reunify the Koreas. And Kim Jong-un is showing that he might just be interested. So we'll see what happens there. Story out of, well, actually, it's a YouTube video, and it's linked to the front of whatreallyhappened.com. New satellite images are revealing a massive show of force by the Chinese Navy in the South China Sea. So they're starting to stretch their muscle, and I looked at the video, and I looked at the photos, and it is a rather large armada, and it is a show of force. That's exactly what it is, because China basically wants to hang on to those islands. Those islands were basically given back to China. They were taken by Japan in World War II, and they were given back to China with the Cairo Convention, which was an agreement signed by all of the parties on the winning side of the war at the end of World War II. And now all of a sudden, you've got all these other countries saying, well, Cairo Convention be gosh darned, we want those islands. China has already been investing a large amount of money developing these islands. And it is, in fact, called the South China Sea on the map. But that's an area of tension, as is, unfortunately, Taiwan. Now, we're starting to see more and more people who are concerned about the fact that for all the money we have spent on the American military machine, that we are, in fact, falling behind in certain areas. Republican U.S. Senator James Inhofe, who sits on the Armed Services Committee, was quoted as saying that the United States is lagging behind Russia and China when it comes to hypersonic weapons development. This is echoed by Thomas Carroco from the Center for Strategic and International Studies, who agreed that Russia and China are outpacing the United States in terms of developing super-fast missile technology. Now, the super-fast missiles, they are a game changer, because they're basically designed to be faster than our current fleet defense systems can handle, or ballistic missile defense systems can handle. Close-in weapon system, the SEWs or the Phoenix, you want to call that, can't keep up with them. Much of that armament, much of that defense is built around a doctrine of a flat, straight, incoming threat that's flying at maybe slightly supersonic speed. But these things are maneuverable, and they're going very, very, very fast. Now, speaking of missiles, we were talking the other day about this attack by Yemen on the Riyadh airport in Saudi Arabia, and how the video seemed to show that the missile defense didn't work out all that well. Well, we're getting a confirmation now from motherboard.vice.com saying that, yes, at least five American-made Patriot missiles missed, malfunctioned, or otherwise failed when Saudi forces tried to intercept a barrage of rockets last March 25th. So, again, it's a demonstration. For all their cost, these weapons really aren't very good. They're not very good at all. They were lying about the effectiveness back in Iraq. Oh, we got 90% of the Scud missiles. Then it was 50%, and then they said, well, it wasn't all that good. Meanwhile, apparently the USS Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier is starting to show some of its major problems. And a lot of it centers on those electromagnetic railgun catapults. They wanted to get rid of the steam catapults. The machinery of the steam catapults really took up a lot of room on the older carriers. They figured the magnetic ones would allow more room on the hangar deck down below. Hasn't really worked on out, and I'll explain more when we come back from these words from our sponsors.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
out the USS Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier, the newest and greatest, $13 billion this cost, and it's got some major problems. And there are problems with its radars. Basically, what happened is they wanted to go really high-tech and futuristic, and they came in with a lot of new technology all on this one hull. And one of the new technologies was an electromagnetic catapult system. And so the Gerald R. Ford is out there doing sea trials and exercises and drills, and they're discovering these catapults are very unreliable. And they basically simulated a four-day combat operation of launching, recovering aircraft over a four-day period. And the Ford's catapults only have a 9% chance of completing the four-day surge and a 70% chance of completing 1 day of sustained operations as defined in the design reference mission without critical failure. That's on a good day with a deck full of trained up sailors. And that's another area where they're getting into trouble. The Ford class was designed to reduce manning requirements, but it's very sensitive to manpower fluctuations because all this next generation technology is not well understood by up and coming sailors. Now, the Pentagon is finally admitting that billions, with a B, in U.S. funds disappeared in Afghanistan due to fraud, waste, and abuse. More than $3.1 billion provided to Afghan armed forces from 2014 through 2017 was, as they put it politely, grossly mismanaged. And of course, we still have the idea that the Pentagon has literally misplaced trillions of dollars. No idea where it went. Now, there's another little interesting article. This came out of Sputnik News. Apparently, the high cost of maintenance and upgrades for the F-35 are so bad that the Air Force may only be able to afford two-thirds of the total number of F-35s they originally wanted because they're going to have to set aside money for upkeep and upgrades. So... most expensive aircraft. Now, they finally had a real-world test. The story just came on through where apparently Israel flew a pair of their F-35s into Iran and back out. They're claiming they were not detected on Iranian radar or Russian radar. And so the stealthy stuff does seem to work of a sort. Or Iran and Russia are just being cagey about it. Now, down in Indonesia, there was a recent big stink, a huge political scandal involving virtually the entire parliament, and parliament has now responded by passing a law that bans public criticism of politicians. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be back after these few words.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.